I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 14th, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's story regards an email that I sent to Eric Hovind regarding the statement of faith posted on his website. I began the email by saying to Eric, "First of all, let me begin by setting the tone of this email so there is no misunderstanding. How's Dad?" For those of you unfamiliar with his dad, that good Christian man is doing hard time in prison for tax evasion. And now for Eric Hovind's statement of faith. The first topic is the scriptures. We believe that the 66 books of the Bible are the written word of God. The Bible is divinely inspired and inerrant throughout, in that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the very words of Scripture. Eric, I understand that you believe them. My question is, why do you believe them? How do you justify dismissing the magical claims of other religions, yet accept yours without question? It's because that's the one you were raised with, Eric. It works the same way all over the world. Eric writes, "It is without error." Eric, Muslims make exactly the same claim about their holy book. Since Islam contradicts Christianity regarding the divinity of Jesus, they can't both be right. What evidence do you offer that your ghost is real and that theirs is just imaginary? Eric writes, "The final guide to the interpretation of Scripture is Scripture itself, and that Scripture is our final authority. No apparent, perceived, or claimed evidence in any field, including history and science, can be valid if it contradicts Scripture." Hey, Eric, I recognize that. You copied and pasted that from the Statement of Faith over at answersingenesis.org. Okay, so you changed a couple of words. It's still basically a copy. It's also a perfect example of closing one's mind. You admit that you refuse to accept anything that disagrees with your preconceptions. Eric's next topic is the Trinity. We believe in the one true and living God. Eric, isn't that pretty much what nearly all religions say? He said, "One God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." Eric, how can you claim to be a monotheistic religion when you have almost enough guys to start a hockey team? He writes, "He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable." Eric, if he were eternal, that would violate the second law of thermodynamics. If he were unchangeable, he would not have replaced eye for an eye justice with turn the other cheek. You can have the infinite part, whatever that means. Now Eric writes, "God the Father. God as Father reigns over all of his universe with providential care and is all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, and all-wise." Eric, I could give you a list of verses 1,000 times longer than the one you just gave me that contradicts your claim. But to save time and space, I'll just give you one. If God is all-knowing, why did God tell Adam not to eat the fruit? Now Eric writes, "God the Son, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became man without ceasing to be God, having been conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin, in order that he might reveal God and redeem sinful man." Eric, from Matthew 1, verse 16, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Eric, doesn't that mean that the Holy Spirit committed adultery with Mary? And since you believe, as you stated, that the three are one God, that the Father also must have committed adultery with Mary. and since Jesus is also God, that he also committed adultery with his own mother. Eric writes, he accomplished this redemption by voluntarily giving himself as a sinless, substitutionary sacrifice on the cross, thereby satisfying God's righteous judgment against sin. Eric, wouldn't it have been a million times easier if God had just said, I forgive everyone, now be fruitful and multiply? At the risk of pissing off a hot-tempered spirit, I have to say that my plan is far superior to the one he came up with. Eric writes, after substantiating the accomplishment of that redemption and justification by his bodily resurrection from the grave, Eric, I don't see why you think that's such a big deal. Matthew 27:52-53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. See, Eric, rising from the dead is no big deal. Even humans can do it. Now Eric writes, he ascended to the right hand of his Father, where he intercedes on behalf of those who trust him. Eric, according to dictionary.com, intercede means to attempt to reconcile differences between two people or groups, to mediate. The only reason Jesus would have to intercede on behalf of his followers is if his Father is against them. If Jesus and God are one God, that must be the greatest example of cognitive dissonance on record. Now Eric says, God the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the divine person who convicts the world of sin, that he alone brings new life to those who are spiritually dead, that he baptizes, indwells, seals, bestows spiritual gifts, and fills those who are yielding to him. Eric, is he also the one responsible for the millions of African Christian babies who starve to death every year, or is that Jesus? Oh, my mistake, I almost forgot. Jesus is in charge of the malaria. Now he writes, every believer is called to live in the power of the Holy Spirit so that he will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but will bear fruit to the glory of God. Eric, I think that the next time you get down on your knees to talk to yourself, pray, you might want to suggest to the Holy Spirit that he spend a little more time in Catholic churches. Apparently, the lure of those tight little butts is more than those poor priests can bear. His next topic is creation. We believe that man was created directly by God and in his image. Eric, then how come we're not invisible? He said, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, including all life, by direct act in six literal 24-hour days about 6,000 years ago. Eric, I'm a little confused here. Maybe you can help me out. Since a day is the time it takes for the earth to rotate once in the presence of the sun, how was it possible to measure the first 4 days when God didn't create the sun until day four? He said, the simple but factual account of origins as presented in Genesis provides a reliable framework for scientific research into the question of the origin and history of life, mankind, the earth, and the universe. Eric, calling Genesis a factual account does not make it so. But for many centuries, it did provide a framework for scientific research into all the fields of science you listed. Unfortunately, the results of that research proved that the ancient goat herders got nearly every single claim wrong, including the part about the earth being the center of the universe. Hell, we aren't even the center of our own solar system. Eric writes, the various original life forms, or kinds, including mankind. Eric, no evidence in any field of science indicates that humans were an original life form. In fact, all evidence indicates that if the age of the Earth were represented by a 24-hour clock, humans would not have appeared until the last second. Eric said, we're made by direct creative acts of God. Sorry, Eric, but that violates the first law of thermodynamics. He said, "The living descendants of any of the original kinds, apart from man, may represent more than one species today, reflecting the genetic potential with the original kind. Only limited biological changes, including mutational deterioration, have occurred naturally within each kind since creation." Eric, that is not what the scientific evidence shows, which is why 99.9% of all biologists disagree with you. And Eric, many of those biologists are Christian. The next topic is the flood. We believe that the great flood in the days of Noah was a literal worldwide flood, exactly as recorded in Genesis chapters 6 through 8. Unfortunately, Eric, there isn't one shred of scientific evidence to be found to prove that it ever occurred. Scientists can find the tiniest little creatures that existed hundreds of millions of years ago. They can find galaxies of stars billions of light years away. But you people can't find a boat large enough to hold every kind of animal on Earth that disappeared only 4,300 years ago on a mountaintop named in the Bible. And it's not for lack of trying. Eric's next topic, man. Although the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, were created in the image of God, Eric, if humans were created in their current form in God's image, and there has been no evolution, as you claim, where did black people come from? Oh, that's right, I almost forgot about the curse of Ham. So when God turned them into blacks, did he use evolution or magic? Eric said, their fall into sin is the basis for the necessity of salvation for mankind. Eric, I find it strange that an all-knowing God couldn't have seen that one coming. Even psychics do better than that. Eric said, death, both physical and spiritual, entered into this world subsequent to and as a direct consequence of man's sin. Eric, you are a devious little man, aren't you? God told them they would die on the day they ate the fruit. But God's psychic powers, as usual, were nowhere to be found because he missed that one too, by about 900 years. So to cover up this obvious contradiction, apologists like you invent interpretations that don't appear in the Bible. That's why you tried to cover your ass with, died spiritually. Eric said, this is true of all men, and all men are sinners. Eric, what sin has been committed by African infants who die of starvation soon after birth? He said, inherently from Adam and individually by choice, and are therefore subject to God's wrath and condemnation. Eric, there is no moral code on earth as vile as yours. No society has ever been insane enough to try to blame children for the crimes of their ancestors. Not even North Korea is that crazy, but you people are. He said, except a man be born again by the Holy Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Eric, isn't that the same guy who raped Jesus' mother? His next topic, the devil, Satan. We believe that Satan is a person. Yes, Eric, we know that you believe your little fairy world is real. That's the problem. He said, Satan is the author of sin. Eric, for a Christian, your biblical understanding seems to be surprisingly lacking. From Isaiah 45 verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Eric continues, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Actually, Eric, I think that one belongs to God too. In the Garden of Eden, it was Satan who told them the truth, and it was God who lied to them about dying on the day they ate the fruit. That's why you apologists had to invent that get-out-of-jail-free card about dying spiritually. Eric said, and Satan is the reason for the fall of man. Eric, the reason for the fall of man is that God planned it that way. How is it possible for an all-knowing God who planned and created an entire universe not to be responsible? Hint, it's not. He said, and is destined to the judgment of an eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Eric, earlier you said that God was all-loving. How could an all-loving God send anyone, even Satan, to a place of eternal torture? Nothing could justify that. No God could do that. Only a monster could. He said, Satan is the personal spiritual adversary of both God and man. Eric, if something is all-powerful, then it is impossible for it to have an adversary. By definition, it is impossible to oppose the all-powerful. His next topic, atonement for sin. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures as a substitutionary sacrifice, and that all who believe in Him are redeemed by His shed blood. Eric, sounds pretty sick to me. I think my forgiveness idea earlier was way better. He continues, we believe in the resurrection of the crucified body of our Lord Jesus Christ and in His ascension into heaven. He is our high priest and advocate. Eric, when you talk like that, rational people look at you the same way you look at the ancient Greeks and Romans, with pity. The difference is, Eric, is that they had an excuse. After thousands of years of scientific advancement, you don't. His next topic, salvation. We believe that salvation is the gift of God's grace alone, and is expressed in the individual's repentance, recognition of Christ's death as full payment for sin, and acceptance of the risen Christ as Savior. So Eric, what about the two-thirds of the planet who don't believe He's anything more than a figment of your imagination? Well, I guess we'll be seeing all of them down at the big barbecue, won't we? Now Eric says, salvation cannot be gained or made more secure by meritorious works, but is freely bestowed upon all who put their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Eric, that works out really great for you guys. You can rape, steal, enslave, and murder, as you've done all throughout your long bloody history, and then just say you're sorry, and you get to float off to fairyland with the Cloud Commander. Eric said, all who so trust the Savior are forgiven of their sins and born into the family of God by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Eric, what a swell club. You get all of the most disgusting criminals who change their ways, while Satan is stuck with millions of gentle, loving people who picked the wrong ghost. Now Eric says, freedom from the penalty and power of sin is available to man only through Christ's sacrificial death, His shed blood, and His complete and bodily resurrection from the dead. Eric, it's tragic that you don't even realize that you sound like you have more in common with vampires and zombies than you do with modern religious believers. You worship blood and death. You are one sick puppy, dude. He said, those who do not believe in Christ are subject to everlasting punishment. Believers enjoy eternal life with God. Eric, the only way you will get that eternal life you have been promised is if the second law of thermodynamics is wrong. Next topic, the Christian walk. We believe that we have a holy calling to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, and so to live in the power of the Spirit in order that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Eric, if we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, how do you propose that we procreate? When you sired your brood, are you claiming that your wife did not inspire the lust of your flesh? How flattering for her. But Eric, don't get too uppity. She might feel the same way about you. He continues, the flesh is never eradicated in this life. Eric, I think you got that one wrong too. Remember witch burnings? Eric said, individuals must choose to keep the flesh in subjection to Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, or the flesh will surely manifest its presence in life and dishonor our Lord. Eric, I've read your Bible, and it's clear that your Lord has no honor left to dishonor. His final topic, the Great Commission. Until the return of Christ, it is the Christian's duty and privilege to seek the fulfillment of Christ's great commission and to minister in His name to a needy world. Actually, Eric, that needy world needs financial assistance, teachers, hospitals, animal shelters, homeless facilities, and many other things. The one thing they don't need is another temple where people go to talk to themselves and pretend that ghosts are listening to them. His final statement, "We are to be instruments of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit ministers redemption and reconciliation in the world." Well, Eric, had God done it right the first time, none of that would have been necessary, would it? And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, severe python damage to Florida's native Everglades animals has been documented in a new study. Precipitous declines in formerly common mammals in Everglades National Park in Florida have been linked to the presence of invasive Burmese pythons. The study strongly supports that animal communities in the 1.5 million acre park have been markedly altered by the introduction of pythons within 11 years of their establishment as an invasive species. Mid-sized mammals are the most dramatically affected, but some Everglades pythons are as large as 16 feet long, and their prey have included animals as large as deer and alligators. The magnitude of these declines underscores the apparent incredible density of pythons in Everglades National Park and justifies the argument for more intensive investigation into their ecological effects, as well as the development of effective control methods. Such severe declines in easily seen mammals bode poorly for the many species of conservation concern that are more difficult to sample, but that may also be vulnerable to python predation. The most severe declines, including a nearly complete disappearance of raccoons, rabbits, and opossums, have occurred where pythons have been established the longest. Populations of raccoons dropped 99%, opossums 99%, and bobcats 87%. Marsh and cottontail rabbits, as well as foxes, were not seen at all. The researchers collected their information via repeated systematic nighttime road surveys within the park, counting both live and road-killed animals. The authors also conducted surveys in ecologically similar areas where pythons have not yet been discovered. In those areas, mammal abundances were similar to those in the park before pythons proliferated. At sites where pythons have only recently been documented, however, mammal populations were reduced, though not to the dramatic extent observed within the park where pythons are well established. Pythons are wreaking havoc on one of America's most beautiful, treasured, and naturally bountiful ecosystems. Right now, the only hope to halt further python invasion into new areas is swift, decisive, and deliberate human action. One reason for such dramatic declines in such a short time is that these prey species are naive. That is, they are not used to being preyed upon by pythons, since such large snakes have not previously existed in that ecosystem. It took 30 years for the brown tree snake to be implicated in the nearly complete disappearance of mammals and birds on Guam. It has apparently taken only 11 years since pythons were recognized as being established in the Everglades for researchers to implicate pythons in the same kind of severe mammal declines. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service published a rule in the Federal Register that will ban the importation and interstate transportation of 4 non-native constrictor snakes that threaten the Everglades, including the Burmese python. These snakes are being listed as injurious species under the Lacey Act. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Galileo, born 1564, died 1642 at the age of 77. Galileo was an Italian physicist, mathematician, astronomer, and philosopher who played a major role in the scientific revolution. His achievements include improvements to the telescope and consequent astronomical observations and support for Copernicanism. Galileo has been called the father of modern observational astronomy, the father of modern physics, and the father of modern science. His contributions to observational astronomy include the telescopic confirmation of the phases of Venus, the discovery of the 4 largest satellites of Jupiter, named the Galilean moons in his honor, and the observation and analysis of sunspots. Galileo also worked in applied science and technology, inventing an improved military compass and other instruments. Galileo was tried by the Inquisition, found vehemently suspect of heresy, forced to recant, and spent the rest of his life under house arrest. I have two quotes from Galileo. The first, "Long experience has taught me this about the status of mankind with regard to matters requiring thought. The less people know and understand about them, the more positively they attempt to argue concerning them. While on the other hand, to know and understand a multitude of things renders men cautious in passing judgment upon anything new." The second and final quote from Galileo, "I do not feel obliged to believe that the same God who has endowed us with sense, reason, and intellect has intended us to forego their use."
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking!